Hello out there in radio world. Today is Wednesday, February 13th. Everyone grab a cup, cozy up, because it's tea time with DJ KK, where we're going to talk about everything television. Love it or hate it? Old reruns to new previews. Tune in 3 to 4 on Wednesdays at radio.dominican.edu. To get things started off, we're going to start with the weather here in San Rafael. If you can't tell already, it's sunny out and over 48 degrees. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Hope you already went out and bought someone special their nice thing. If you don't have a Valentine's, there is a backup plan. It will be partially cloudy, but mainly sunny tomorrow. So go out, take your man or your girl outside on a nice picnic. All right, everyone, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Everyone, and we're back. I am DJ KK, and let's talk about everything television. Starting off today, we're going to talk about the top 10 television dramas for teenage girls. Starting at number one, we have Vampire Diaries. And Vampire Diaries is a show about two brothers, Damon and Stefan Salvatore. And they have been trying to live normal lives, hiding their bloodthirsty condition for centuries, moving on, non-aging, and not noticed. They're back in the little town of Virginia where they became vampires. Stefan is noble, denies himself of blood to avoid killing, and tries to control his evil brother Damon. Stefan falls in love with a schoolgirl, Elena, whose best friend is a witch like her and her grandma. So Elena's the main character of the show. And over each season, she becomes stronger and stronger. And in this past season, she was turned into a vampire along with her best friend, her best friends, and her best friend's boyfriend, who became not only a vampire, but also a werewolf. So this show has a lot of different characters along vampires, witches, mortal people. Just everyone living in a very interesting environment together. So the next top 10 television show would be Gossip Girl. And Gossip Girl is welcome to New York's Upper East Side, where the wealthy and connected mingle at benefits and try to deal with their always dramatic love lives, not to mention picking colleges. Blair Waldorf is the so-called toast of the adolescent in her world. She and her friends go to prep school, and they go to fancy parties with their rich parents. Blair is the most popular girl, and she's the queen bee of the school. Not only does she have a gorgeous boyfriend, Nate Archibald, which is Chase Crawford, but because she is also planning on getting into her dream college, Yale, with everyone worried about college or procrastinating, which everyone seems to be doing, and junior dragging along, her seemingly perfect life is interrupted by her ex-best friend Serena Vanderwoodson, who came back into town after being kicked out of boarding school. Serena comes back into her life and into every eye of Blair's boyfriend when everything Blair knows starts to fall. So that's where Gossip Girl starts. Gossip Girl is a very interesting television show because it is so realistic, having to do with if you were living in the Upper East Side of New York. The next show, number three on the list, is of course 90210. 90210 has Anne and Dixie Wilson moved from Arkansas to their very wealthy area of Beverly Hills and began attending their famed West Beverly High School in the 902 zip code. They quickly encounter Queen Bee Naomi, Rebel Silver, and troubled Adriana and the others as the drama unfolds in the 90210. Number four, Wildfire. Wildfire is a story of what happens when Chris, willful daughter of a lousy mother who took a bad start in life landing herself in jail, gets paroled because of Pablo, an excellent foreigner who's also had a juvenile record, gets her job on the horse ranch of the Ritter family, where she proves her worthy working with horses, especially Wildfire, but still restless with her past and upsets the social dynamics there, not in the least because of her appeal on the owner's teenage boys, Gene Ritter's son Matt and Kevin, son of Kenny and Junior Davis. So all of you listeners, if you're interested in horses or anything having to do with horses, there's a horse drama, Wildfire, taking the spot at four. Next, the all-time favorite, I would say very popular today, is Pretty Little Liars. Pretty Little Liars is a clique of teenage girls drifted apart after the group leader Allison DeLaurentis goes missing. Her body is found and the girls are reunited at her funeral. All four begin receiving text message from the mysterious A, who seems to know many of the group's deepest secrets, some of which only the late Allison knows the knowledge of. The girls join forces against A, scheming, and try to uncover the mystery of Allison's death. I'll get into Pretty Little Liars more later in the show, but taking the next spot of number six is Life Unexpected. 15-year-old Lux has spent her life going from foster family to foster family. She's finally decided to become an emancipated minor. During her journey, though, the legal maze, Lux finds her biological father, 30-something Nate Bays, Basil, who lives above a bar. In an astonishment, he learned that he has a daughter. Lux learns that her mother, Kat, a star on the local radio, along with her boyfriend, Ryan, a judge decides to grant temporary custody of Lux to Blaze and Kat instead of emancipating her. So, Life Unexpected, for all those unexpected life twists that happen, if you guys are interested in that type of TV show. Number seven, The Line Game. This show is on ABC Family, and the show follows Emma, a kind-hearted foster kid who can't catch a break. She finds out she has an identical sister, Sutton, who, unlike Emma, was adopted by wealthy parents and is seemingly living an ideal life. After their initial meeting, Sutton talks to Emma into stepping into her life for a few days, while she pursues a lead on her birth mother. Initially excited to do this favor for her sister, Emma soon learns that Sutton has gone missing and could be in trouble. Now Emma must decide whether to come clean to Sutton's family and risk her own safety in hope of uncovering her sister's true whereabouts, along with the truth of why they are separated in the first place. So these girls, Emma and Sutton, they basically play tricks on their families, and their families do not know which daughter of which is who. So they're identical twins there, and one twin sabotages another. A bunch of drama happens. Coming at number eight is Heart of Dixie, which is on the CW after Gossip Girl. Fast-talking New Yorker and the brand new doctor, Zoe Hart, has it all figured out. After graduating top of her class from medical school, she followed her father's footsteps and became a cardiologic surgeon. But when her dreams fall apart, Zoe decides to accept an offer from a stranger, Dr. Harley Wilkes, to work for him in a small practice in Bluebell, Alabama. Zoe arrives in this small Gulf Coast town only to find that Harley has passed away and left his half of the medical practice to her in his will. So this girl from New York is coming to the small town of Alabama, and now she's running her own practice. People just start finding out about her, and drama starts to unfold. Coming in at number 9, also on ABC Family, is Greek. Greek is about a freshman that arrives at his sister's college, much to her dismay. He decides to pledge a fraternity on campus. After catching his sister's boyfriend with another girl, he ends up with at the rival fraternity, trying to go from geek to Greek and growing up in the process. Greek is a hilarious show, especially having to do with college. Has very identical things and situations that happen to college freshmen, seniors, everyone out there. And coming in at spot number 10 is The Secret Circle. 16-year-old Cassie moves from California to live with her grandmother in Chance Harbor, Washington, and falls in love with the mysterious boy Adam. But when she enrolls in high school there, she realizes that she, and all other elite students at the school are witches. She befriends the leader, Diana, but soon discovers that Adam and Diana are dating, which leads to drama. So, if you didn't catch the top 10 television shows for teen girls listed by IMDb, this is the order. Number 1, Vampire Diaries. 2, Gossip Girl. 3, 90210. 4, Wildfire. 5, Pretty Little Liars. 6, Life Unexpected. 7, The Lion Game. 8, Heart of Dixie. 9, Greek. And 10, The Secret Circle. We will be talking more about my two favorite of the list when we come back. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I am less white. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
Place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket.
Hello, we are back, and this is Tea Time with DJ KK. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu. Before the break, we talked about the top 10 television dramas for teenage girls And in listing, they were number 1, Vampire Diaries, 2, Gossip Girl, 3, 90210, 4, Wildfire, 5, Pretty Little Liars, 6, Life Unexpected, 7, The Lion Game, 8, Heart of Dixie, 9, Greek, and 10, The Secret Circle. So out of these 10 shows, I decided to pick 2 shows that are my favorite out of them. And I'm going to start with Pretty Little Liars. So Pretty Little Liars, I gave you guys a brief overview, but here is what it's mainly about. So Pretty Little Liars is on their 3rd season currently, but Pretty Little Liars is a series of young adult novels by American author Sarah Shepard, and she began in 2006, entering the same name. The series that lives with 4 girls, Spencer Hastings, Hannah, Aria, and Emily, whose clique falls apart after the disappearance of their leader, Allison De Laurentiis, in 7th grade. Later, when the girls are juniors in high school, Allison's body is found, and they begin receiving various text messages from one using the alias A, who threatens to expose their secrets and gets revenge on them for what Allie did to A. The novel explores several serious issues such as bullying, murder, drug addiction, underage drinking, eating disorders, homosexuality, peer pressure, and mental illness. So the plot is set in the town of Rosewood, Pennsylvania. The series follows the lives of Aria, Hannah, Spencer, and Emily. The 4 girls' clique falls apart when the queen bee of the school, Allison De Laurentiis, goes missing. 1 year later, they get mysterious text messages and threatens to expose all their secrets. Allison was also stalked by A, and the girls continue to find more and more information about A and Allison's disappearance, all while risking their lives. So the main character is Spencer Hastings. She is one of the 4 girls of the clique. She is an extremely competitive girl who strives for perfection in everything she does. She is high-strung, overachiever. Spencer is willing to do everything and anything it takes to win. And Spencer has her half-sister is Allison De Laurentiis, and her father was having an affair around the time of Spencer's conception. Her parents divorce after an affair comes to light, but the next girl is Hannah. Hannah is pretty and a popular girl who used to struggle with bulimia and anorexia due to some insecurities about her appearance, but now she's beautiful and one of the top girls in the show. Hannah often acts purely and on impulse, and in Allison's behalf, she became friends with Mona. Mona is crazy, let's just say that. Allie's previous target, and they both were transformed themselves into Rosewood's It Girls. Hannah's parents divorced when she was 12, and her father had an affair. Now she lives with her mother, and Hannah dislikes her father's new wife, Isabel, and her daughter, Kate, they form a rivalry. For a short time, Hannah is sent to a mental institution for her father believing in her eating disorders. Next girl is Aria. Aria is the inner artistic one. She's independent, and her family moved back to Rosewood after her father took her a job in Iceland. Prior to Allison's disappearance, Aria became aware that her father was having an affair with one of his students, Meredith. And Aria found out about that and eventually told her mother that happened. Aria's parents got divorced, and eventually Aria's dad started dating Meredith again, but Meredith has something to do with Allison's disappearance. So everyone interconnects somehow. Then the next girl of the 4 is Emily. Emily is shy, and she's a dedicated swimmer with a sweet personality. She was in love with Allison, and the fact that she takes great pains to hide this in the first seasons about her insecurities and bisexuality. But eventually, Emily breaks out of her insecurities and tells everyone, and everyone accepts her for who she is. Finally, the main girl of the show, but no one gets to see her except on flashbacks is Allison De Laurentiis. She is the one that went missing, and she's extremely popular and she's beautiful, but she's very cruel. She's a very cruel girl. She pushes all the girls like crazy and breaks them to the end, and they fight. But with her gone now, the girls have become closer and more confident in themselves. So who is this mysterious A that they get these text messages from? They don't know. They have no idea. At one point, it was Mona, because Mona was the one that got locked up in a mental institution for going crazy, trying to get back at these girls. So Mona could be A, and she's the one that goes around the black capes, but there's not only one A. A works together. A is everywhere. I don't sometimes know how that happens. So I think there are three people that could be A as of right now. So I think Allison may not be dead. She might be A, because Emily does see a blonde girl in a red cape during when she was at Allison's grave, which means it could be Allie. But does it mean that Allie is still alive and calling the shots on the A-team? Well, maybe. Or it's a wig, and she might have seen a whole blonde wig. You've seen it before in Pretty Little Liars, a blonde wig on someone. But then again, she might not be A. For the first time in a long time, Allie isn't in our top spot, so we don't know who A could be. But I also think it might be Ezra. Ezra is dating Aria, and I think all of a sudden now he's gone in the show, and so it's a possibility that he may be A. The poor guy wasn't even in the episode this week, but two reasons why I suspect it's Ezra is because one is A brought whiskey at the end of the episodes, and we remember Ezra impressed Brian with this taste in scotch back in season 2. So I'm taking it back to different seasons, trying to add up all these clues together, because it kills me. I just want to know who A is. How much longer can they drag out this show? Okay. And so reason why he might not be A is, well, a lot of guys on the show like the hard liquor. Like, let's not forget Allison's brother. Okay. So we still don't have any motivation for Ezra to be A. We're just going to hope he's not up to anything creepy, because Aria and Ezra are too cute together. But Ezra's brother is now in the show while he's gone. So maybe things are going to start heating up after Aria and Ezra's brother had that kiss last episode. So we never know what's going to happen there too. And finally, Cece Drake. She was with Allison at summer when Allison told her that she was pregnant, and she is Allison's brother's, one of his friends. So she might just be jealous of Allison, but we don't know. She might be A, because we suddenly have to like a new top candidate. The blonde girl who Emily saw could be someone in a wig, but Cece is also blonde, so she's always so sketchy, and she knows so many of Allie's secrets. So, I mean, if the hair color fits. But some reasons why she might not be A is she's a new recent addition to this show. So it would be odd for her to be the A team leader, but, you know, she could be on the A team. So far, Mona's on the A team, and Toby, Spencer's ex-boyfriend, is on the A-team. Next episode, it seems like Spencer will tell the girls that Toby's part of the A-team, because she found that out and she kept it a secret, and that's driving her crazy. She's off the walls. She attacked Mona in last episode. I don't know what Spencer's going to do next, to be honest, but next episode looks amazing. So tune in to Pretty Little Liars on ABC Family on Tuesday nights. My favorite show of all time is Gossip Girl. Gossip Girl is an American teen drama television series based on a book series. And the series was created for the CW, and 6 seasons have ran so far, from September of 2007 to December of 2012. So Gossip Girl had its season finale back in December, and it was probably one of the best season's finales of any show I've seen before. It wrapped up from the first episode, the pilot, to the very last episode. It connected it perfectly. The series began with the return of the Upper East Side It Girl, Serena Vanderwoodson, who's played by Blake Lively. From a mysterious day at longboarding school in Cornell, Connecticut, Blair Waldorf, Leighton Meester, who creates and describes the Queen as the center of the chess game, it's a longtime friend and occasional rivalry Serena and Blair have. They go to Constance Billard School, and they're constantly fighting to be the top person. So we'll get back talking about Gossip Girl right after this break. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu.
First saw you, I saw love, and the first time you touched me, I felt love, and after all this time, you're still the one I love.
We've come up, baby. We might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong.
Still the one.
I'm so glad we made it.
Hello, everyone. This is DJ KK, and we are back with Tea Time, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Before the break, I went over the top 10 television dramas, and now I'm talking about my two favorite of the top 10 list. I talked about Pretty Little Liars, and now I'm going to go back to talking about Gossip Girl. So, Gossip Girl, like I said, is an American teen drama television by a book series. And the series has a few different characters in it. There's Serena Vanderwoodson, which is a tall, blonde, and beautiful who gets everything she wants all the time. Then there's Blair Waldorf, who has to work a little bit more for what she does, but she's also one of the rich people in the show, and she's the queen bee, so she would rather be respected than loved, basically. Next, we have Chuck Bass, who's played by Ed Westwick, and he's the bad boy of the Upper East Side. He gets into all the trouble and stirs up most of the drama because he just feeds off it and loves it. And next, we have the golden boy, Nate Archibald, who is played by Chase Crawford, and that's Chuck's best friend and Blair's boyfriend of many years. However, Blair's relationship has been very rocky with Nate ever since Serena got back at school. But over the turbulent Manhattan scene, we have Dan Humphrey and best friend Vanessa Abrams and sister Jenny Humphrey. And the show has received numerous winnings and nominations of the Teen Choice Awards. And the final season consisting was this past year. So let me talk about this final season because it wrapped everything up, I have to say. Gossip Girl started from all these kids growing up in high school, but they got exactly what they wanted all the time. So it doesn't show that, you know, you get happiness from wealth because you don't. They weren't as happy in some points, but they could still do whatever they wanted. So they could take a trip to Costa Rica when they were bored. They could fly to wherever they want when they wanted. At the end, we had Chuck Bass, who fell in love with Blair Waldorf out of who knows where, and who knew that Chuck Bass could actually have feelings for someone. He was that player that just, you know, went off, a real tool, some would say. And eventually he just fell in love with Blair, and Blair loved him back. But Chuck sold Blair out for just a hotel. And so that's when they broke up around season 3. And then they were still in love. Chuck almost died at one point. And there was a car accident that happened. And so Blair actually got married to a prince that ended up not being a prince at all. He was a very rude guy to her and just used her just so he could be a king. And then Blair goes back to Chuck because those two have always loved each other. And then Dan comes along, and Dan and Serena were supposed to be together because they were their first everything for Dan, and they were the ones that loved each other based on love. And Blair and Chuck loved each other based on challenge. They would challenge each other. So wrapping up with the final season, Chuck and Blair get married. Yes, they get married finally after seasons and seasons of back and forth. Blair loves Chuck, but Chuck doesn't love Blair. And then Chuck loves Blair and Blair doesn't love Chuck. So much drama happens between each other. You just want them to get together. And finally they do. And it's amazing. And they have a little baby and they name him Henry. And he just looks like the perfect mix. They couldn't have found a better person to play it between Blair and Chuck. Also, in the final episode, Serena and Dan get married, but Serena outshines Blair at her own wedding. Like, two weddings in one episode. It was crazy. It was the best finale ever. So Dan and Serena, they end up together. Chuck and Blair, they end up together. But who is this Gossip Girl that spreads all the drama and just unleashes? So the goal, Gossip Girl, is something that each teenager in the show gets to send a message in, and like if they see like someone kissing someone and no one knows they're together, or like where's Chuck, and so they have like these different things that the Gossip Girl is known as. And Gossip Girl isn't revealed to the final episode, and I'm not going to reveal it because you can go watch Gossip Girl on Netflix and watch all six seasons. They're very addicting, very fun to watch, and extremely entertaining. Like, I'm telling you, New York Magazine even named the series the best show ever in 2008, and Rolling Stones named the series the TV's hottest show. So there are very intimate scenes in the show. It shows teenage girls, teenage boys and girls just growing up and living their lives and growing into different people. Like, each character changes over amount of time, and some characters become weak at some points, and some characters shine even more at some points. So it's very awesome to watch the development in each character when the show goes on. Gossip Girl is my favorite show, and I would say to go watch it on Netflix because it is very entertaining, and I'm not going to give away who Gossip Girl is because that will ruin the whole show for everyone. So you'll have to go and watch it. Finally, I have a very, very special announcement for all those Boy Meets World fans, okay? So I will get to this announcement after this short break I'm going to take, because this is very, very intriguing. So this is radio.dominican.edu, and I'll be right back. Hello, this is DJ KK, and this is Tea Time, where we talk about everything television. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. So before the break, I was talking about my two favorite television shows off the top 10 list, and so I discussed Pretty Little Liars and Gossip Girl. So Gossip Girl is on the CW, so you can go check that out, and Pretty Little Liars is on ABC Family, so I would go check that one out. Now I'm going to talk about what everyone has been waiting for. All you Boy Meets World fans out there, yes, there is going to be a sequel to the show, and it's called Girl Meets World, and it's going to be an ABC classic again. So Boy Meets World ran between 1993 and 2000 on ABC's TGIF lineup, and it was a favorite of mine. Maybe not quite to the level of Gossip Girl and Pretty Little Liars, but it was a really good show, okay? Now that the show Boy Meets World is over, I feel like it is time for a new show to appear. So Boy Meets World, if you're unfamiliar with it, it followed Corey Matthews, which is Ben Savage, and he was navigated his life growing up in Philadelphia. Co-stars include his best friend Sean, older brother Eric, and girlfriend Topanga, and teacher mentor Mr. Feeney. By the end of the show, at which time had dropped because they were in high school, and then it ended because Corey and Topanga decided to get married. So Boy Meets World showed their life growing up during the 1990s. So Girl Meets World is going to be, well, Corey and Topanga married, and they're going to be a part of this show, okay? So, well, now, 13 years later, some genius has gone together and decided that we need another Meet World, specifically Corey and Topanga's 13-year-old daughter, Riley. And that's the news I welcomed, of course. Boy Meets World was great because it was a sitcom about fairly normal people dealing with fairly normal problems. By far, the most troubled character was Sean, and even his struggles with his dysfunctional family ranged very much. Topanga's family of hippies was also a little over the top, but who doesn't love some nutty parents? I mean, if you don't, they're probably yours. I'm very hopeful for Girl Meets World. So it will be relatable and fun as a parent show. In an interview with Weekly Entertainment, creator Michael Jacobs said that he hopes that Girl Meets World captures the confusion about growing up and what we're supposed to be and where we're supposed to be to aspire. Although the show will be for generations of kids growing up, and it's more difficult in different times than the kids on Boy Meets World. So in Girl Meets World, I would expect some technological issues, because in Boy Meets World, they didn't have cell phones in that show. No one had a cell phone, and they went to school where everyone walked to. They didn't have cars a lot. So I expect some cell phone issues to come up, some drug and alcohol issues, because it's very more popular nowadays. I'm also thrilled by the prospect of Riley's personality, which Jacobs describes like this. She's going to be much more like one parent than the other, but the second parent will pop up in ridiculously unexpected times and places an odd to the confusion of which character is which. And that sounds fun to me. I know I'm not going to be the only adult, or at least somewhat adult, tuning into this the first few episodes to see what Girl Meets World is all about. Even if it's not my view, I hope that the show will capture imaginations of children watching it like I did. Boy Meets World did a great job for me when I was growing up, and it proves to be a good family-friend sitcom that parents and children can enjoy together. It has a lot of promises, and I'm really excited about this prospect. So Girl Meets World is going to be really good because Boy Meets World was hilarious, and it actually described what happened in the show, like real life situations. So for those of you who don't know what Boy Meets World did, I would log on to the internet right now, watch an episode. You will love it. It is hilarious, and it has a lot of good entertainment having to do with things that when you were going through high school, things that you grew up with. So I'm going to go into a break. And when we get back, I'm going to finish up the show talking about everyone's favorite reality show going on right now, The Bachelor. And you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. All right, this is DJ KK, and this is Tea Time at radio.dominican.edu. To bring this radio show home, we're going to talk about everyone's favorite man on ABC, Sean from The Bachelor, and see what this season's drama-filled season, if he will find his love or not. But before we get into talking about Sean Lowe and his heartbreaks, we're going to start with recapping all the past seasons of The Bachelors and Bachelorettes to see where they are now, okay? So I'm going to start off with season one, Alex and Amanda. They broke up after 1 year of dating after the show. Breakup. Season two, Aaron and Helen. They broke up 5 weeks after the finale aired. Season 3, Andrew Firestone and Jen just broke up 7 months after the season aired. Season 4, Bob and Estella broke up 1 month after the season finale aired, right after they attended Trista and Ryan Sutter's December wedding in 2003. Season 5, Jesse Palmer and Jessica broke up 1 month after the season finale aired. Season 6, Brian and Mary broke up about several years together. They got engaged in November 2004 and had some domestic issues, but didn't officially end their union until December of 2009. Season 7, Charlie O'Connor and Sarah broke up, but they had a great run, okay? They took a chance on the relationship in May and broke up in September of 2007. By November 2008, they are back together, but then split up again in 2012. So close. Season 8, Travis and Sarah broke up sometime after the show finished taping. Since a week after the finale aired, Travis and Sarah told reporters on a conference call that they had already split up. Season 9, Lorenzo and Jennifer broke up after 2 months of the season finale aired. Season 10, Andy and Tessa broke up, first ending their engagement 3 months after it aired, but then adding that while they're still dating, however, 1 month after they announced they officially broke up. Back and forth again. Season 11, we had Brad and himself. Epic fail, since he didn't even pick between Deanna and Jenny, his two finalists. He could have at least pretended to pick one, like Jen. Just kidding. Season 12, Matt and Cheyenne broke up 2 months after the finale aired. Season 3, Jason and Melissa, or Molly, still together. At least Jason and Molly are. Jason infamously ended his engagement with Melissa after the final rose special, after asking Molly out for coffee a few minutes later. Awkward, but the Mesnicks got married February 2010, and they're still going strong 2 years later. So he didn't pick the winner, but he picked the runner-up. But good job for winning, Melissa. Season 14, Jake and Vienna broke up 3 months after the finale aired. And season 15, Brad Womack and Emily broke up at least once while the show was still airing, but kept trying to work it out until an official breakup statement 3 months after the finale aired. And then season 16, Ben and Courtney broke up early in October of 2012. So let's go over the Bachelorette statistics. The Bachelorette season 1, Tristan and Ryan, still together to this day. And that finale finally aired in 2003. They got married on ABC's special broadcast, and they now have 2 children and are very happy together. Season 2, Meredith and Ian broke up 1 year after they aired. After this commercial break, I'm going to wrap it up, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Boat. Some find themselves sailing upon the clouds. It looks as if I must face the big guy now. He beckons me towards him as a loving smile rolls on his face and says, "Man, I thought you'd never find this place. I don't understand, and ask him why you have allowed me in. We welcome you for the man. You've always been, you've always been. You've always been, you've always been, I've always been, I've always been, I've always been, I've always
Hi, this is DJ KK, and we're back at radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to Tea Time, and before the break, I went over previous Bachelor and Bachelorettes. They were still together, and some that have broken up. So next week, I'm going to be talking about the Bachelorette season that's going on with Sean Lowe and all of the girls that were voted off his Bachelor season recently. So thank you, everyone, for coming out or listening at radio.dominican.edu. I appreciate it. And next week, we're going to talk about all different shows and more about The Bachelor, because that is a very great show that's on right now. And have a nice day, everyone. Keep it sunshining outside. This has been DJ KK.